Jessie Cartley.
Hello, hello.
Newest star of, well, you've been in Operation Mincemeat, but you now are there full time.
Yes, yeah.
We'll start there. How's that going?
Sure, yeah. So I started with Operation Mincemeat in late 2024. I was a cover primarily for Jean Leslie, and now I play that part full time on Broadway.
So exciting. It's one of my favorite shows on Broadway.
Mine too.
A friend of mine saw it in London like twice before it even moved over here. And then I'm pretty sure literally two weeks prior, before all of this stuff started like showing up on the sidewalks.
Yes.
She was like, I need you to listen to this cast album because mm-hmm. I think you'd really like it. And I was like, okay. And so I did. And then all of a sudden, all of that stuff started popping up. And she had seen none of it because she works on the East Side. And mm-hmm. I don't think they had done anything over there. So I just started sending her pictures of like all of these like advertisements for it. And she was like, oh my God, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And so we went and we like to buy the like $59 tickets all the way up in the rafters.
Yes, of course.
Which is honestly great seats.
Great view. There really is not a bad seat
like
in
you
that
can
house.
Pretty much see everything. And then we got the chance to see the show in like the fifth row because someone sold their did like a theater app thing where they whatever the monthly
those apps are thing. Great. And yes, our monthly draw where we do like I think it's like $80-ish tickets if you just sign up for the little email but they're great seats
and they go so fast. I like get the email, but I think my email is usually behind.
Oh no.
And so I get it like a couple minutes after, and by the time I've logged in they're like sold out.
I'm
it's okay, I'll pay the $59, that's fine. I don't mind. What are we sipping on today?
Okay, so today I have an iced vanilla latte. This is from 260s coffee shop.
Yes, it's right downstairs. They have kind of the best vibes for a little coffee shop down there.
I was about to say, I didn't stop in there myself. This was hand delivered to me, but this is a really solid latte.
It's literally like right down, it's like next door down here. And amazing. It's when you, I was like the music vibes. It's like, there's like couches and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very cute.
Yeah. There's nothing like a good coffee shop.
I love
what
shop.
Do you have?
This
that
is a strawberry matcha. It wasn't mixed at all. So I'm kind of, I'm like, I'm just going to be drinking matcha and then all of a sudden I'll get the strawberry puree.
But it looks pretty magnificent.
I mean, oh, for matcha, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have met before.
Yes. Yeah.
Sort of. We've never met in person.
Right.
But we've spoken to each
other. For sure.
For 2019 Jimmy Awards.
Yes.
And you did an Instagram takeover.
I did.
And actually, I think you were the last Instagram takeover for that year because I got an email from the Jimmys and they were like, you cannot be asking our students.
No way.
Yes. They literally were like, if you want to do something like that, you have to ask us. And I was like, I've been doing this for the past 3 years.
Whoa.
It was crazy.
Okay, wow.
Anyway, you took us around.
Yes.
Can you tell me about being at the Jimmy Awards?
Yeah, of course. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. So I went in 2019, which was my junior year of high school. I mean, that week is crazy. That week is so intense and so jam-packed with so much stuff to do.
It's like auditions and classes and like more classes and then rehearsal, right?
Yeah, you get a coach. Which I was assigned Adam Cantor, and he was phenomenal. It was amazing. But they just really jam-pack your day with coaching and then rehearsing your numbers. I was in the group number, the Wicked tribute. And it's so funny because I've obviously... Time has passed. time has passed.
Just a couple years.
Since that time. But like, I still look back at all of my little videos and memories from that era, and it's like I was so excited, so just ready for anything that it had to throw at me, and I just it's so great to look back at that person and to see what I'm doing now, and it's honestly the same thing. I'm still so excited about what I get to do for a living, and I still keep in touch with those kids from the Jimmys. Literally last night I ran into Joey Cooper, who I'm pretty sure I featured on the vlog.
Yeah, I think you did, because I was rewatching some of them and I was like, some of these people are like, they've done like 5 shows.
Yes, exactly. Like, and I literally ran into him last night and I was like, oh my gosh. And yes, I absolutely featured him on the vlog for that day. But yeah, it's fun. We're all just a bunch of theater kids doing our best.
I love watching the Jimmy Awards. I haven't watched them in maybe 2 years now, just because I haven't been home. Yeah. But I know that for a lot of people, like especially in high school, I didn't know about the Jimmy Awards until my like junior year of high school, because my school does not, I don't think South Carolina even has like a
state thing. Yeah.
So we don't go. Don't participate. But I got to go to the Bloomies 1 year. Actually, I went to the year that Renee won.
Oh, no way.
And I remember being like, this is the wildest award show
for sure.
Style.
For sure.
Ever. I mean, does yours also do like the tiers of like schools and size and everything?
So ours is like, I did the Georgia High School Musical Theater Awards, and ours was like very, very much a mini Tony's award.
Yeah.
Tony Awards. A mini Tony Awards. It was like we had all the categories for like best lighting, best sound, best direction, all of that stuff. And it was all televised. And then the leading actors and actresses got to do the medley.
Yes, like, right.
Like they always do. But Georgia, it's broadcasted. It's a huge deal there. And I think it continues to be to this day. Yeah.
It's just wild to me how many high schoolers are like at that level of talent.
Oh my gosh. It's
amazing.
Yeah. I think that's what's just so amazing about the Jimmys and like what those high school awards programs do in general is like I had some formal training, but the most like training that I got was staying after school and doing my public school's school musical.
Yeah, right.
And that's, you know, it's cool that that's enough, and it's something that we need to support and uplift and fund, and these award programs like encourage that. It's kind of like a Super Bowl for for theater kids.
The theater kids Super Bowl. okay, I want to talk about some of the things that you've done specifically, and this is like because I'm obsessed with this show.
Uh-huh.
You did Lizzie.
I did. Yes.
As Lizzie.
Yes, in college. Yeah.
So a friend of mine in college, who at the time was one of my professors and was my music director for when we did Head Over Heels, we were like at intermission, like last maybe 2 minutes of intermission.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there like knowing that I'm like about to go out, and then I have freedom for like 20 minutes to go pee.
Yeah.
And she goes, have I ever told you about Lizzie? Because we're talking about, she made like a femme punk playlist, like pre-show playlist, and then that's what played at intermission too. And I was like, I need this playlist, like I need you to send it to me, and that'll be my, you know, hype music.
Yeah.
And she was like, wait, have I told you about Lizzie? And I was like, no. And then she starts explaining it, and then she gets called out to go start the show, and I was like,
well, no, you can't just leave me like that.
She literally started the show. She was like, it's about Lizzie Borden, and it's rock, it's like pop rock music.
Oh, yeah.
And then she just left, and I was like, cool. So now I have a good 15 minutes in between my time to like figure out what is happening. And then I listened to the album, and I remember being so in love with it.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, if anyone has a bootleg of their school's production of Lizzie,
right,
you must send it. Like I got on TikTok and was like, if you've done Lizzie, it's like, that was one of my most random videos that I've ever made, and most viewed of, not like most viewed, but like of me just like sitting there being like, if you were in Lizzie, please send me the video.
Yes.
And every links, just like so many random links of like people's college productions.
Yeah.
And I watched so many of them, and I was like, these are, first off, some of these are insane.
Yeah.
Like that's a hard show to do.
Oh my gosh. It's incredible.
What, I mean, so your college today, what was it like doing?
Yeah.
That.
So I graduated from Baldwin Wallace Conservatory of Music, and Lizzie was slotted during my sophomore year of college. We had this partnership thing where we would have a couple shows that would happen at the Beck Center, which was in Lakewood, Ohio, and Playhouse Square in downtown Cleveland, so that we would be getting like professional credits under a school show. So Lizzie was one of those, and we performed it at the Beck Center. It was double cast, so there were eight of us, and we would just kind of switch off. And I was one of the Lizzies. That was just, I still think about it as one of the most formative shows I've ever done. And if there are any young women, femme presenting people who don't know about Lizzie, you have to know about Lizzie.
God, you have to.
You have
to. It's like the best in the shower, like.
I am on such a campaign to get it in New York City. I cannot believe it hasn't been in New York yet. It's we need it here. Yeah, you'll never hear a score like that. Women just screaming and expressing and loving each other. It's just, it is so unbelievably incredible. And I had such an amazing time playing that role, discovered so much about myself. Yeah, if you are an actor anywhere and somewhere near you is producing
Lizzie,
audition.
You must go.
Even just to sing the material right. In the audition was enough to change me. But yeah, that is a really, really special musical.
For those who don't know, Lizzie is about Lizzie Borden,
mm-hmm.
who allegedly murdered her parents with an axe. Watched yes. them many times.
Yes.
It's not like the most true to story version of the history,
no, right.
but I mean, if you that's just okay. love high belting and like rock and pop and like femme punk, like that is yeah. such a good show.
For sure. And it's
also, you guys got to wear some really
oh
amazing
my gosh.
Costumes.
The costumes. Oh, they're so good. Even like the Victorian era, like first act costumes were still so fierce. And
right.
then in the second act, everybody turns into kind of the rock star version of themselves. And yeah, those costumes were amazing. What a spectacular time. Yeah.
My friend who introduced me to it did it with mm-hmm. Sierra in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
for
they
sure.
did like the first
yeah,
like
yeah.
North US version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I assume. I don't know if Canada, I yeah. can't imagine Canada would have done it. But I'm like, where's that video? I need that. I think there's like B-roll of like that version. And then was that the one that Eden Espinosa did? Or was that, she did that in like Germany?
I know she
maybe.
Did one. Yeah. They
she had like purple hair and everything.
Yeah,
I remember
international
that.
Versions too. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's incredible.
What I want to do is like do like a 54 Below where we just have a bunch of different like four
oh, yeah.
groups of people. And
oh,
we
my
just,
gosh.
But like we just sing through the show.
Yeah, sign me up.
But it's just
that
like a bunch of different people.
So much
that's
fun.
That's like, that would be a dream of mine. I don't know if I would do it at 54, if I would do it at Green Room.
I was thinking, or I mean like, my brain is like, can we get it at like some like rock venue?
Oh yeah, like somewhere that would be really cool.
Yeah.
There's what's the it's not really a rock venue, but they've been able to dress it up. There's a church that they just did a show. I say just did. I don't know what was last there. Like Radio City maybe is what it was called. I don't know. I remember walking in and they like, it's literally a church, but
yeah.
they do musical, like new musicals
okay.
there. And sometimes
okay, let's go produce it.
I know.
Let's do
and
it.
And they had dressed up the set as like a bar, like
mm-hmm.
like a dive bar. And so you actually, like when you went to the bar, it literally did
oh,
look like
it,
a bar and they had like an
Bo
open
at
mic.
St. Luke's?
No, but it's.
But that's also a good venue.
Same, like same idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah.
Okay, we'll brainstorm.
We'll brainstorm. And we're going to make it happen.
It's going to happen. okay, so talk to me about what it's been like going from being a cover
mm-hmm.
and getting to go on a couple times, which I've gotten to see twice now.
Oh, wow.
I think yeah. is Jean. And then now like taking over.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that is like a crazy
yeah.
change learning how to
completely.
Do this, do it 8 shows a week.
Yeah, I mean, the 8-show-a-week lifestyle is definitely not for the faint of heart. It's been, I'm not afraid to admit that it has been an absolutely a transitional period for mm-hmm. me. I'm learning even now about what my body can do, what my voice can do. And a lot of it is surprising. A lot of it is like, oh, I can push through even if I'm feeling a little bit under today, and I'll still do a really great show and feel really good about it. But then there's also the days that it's like, wow, I really need to call out because I'm not going to be able to do something I'm proud of. And, you know, when you dream about Broadway for your whole life and then you get that opportunity, it can feel like a lot of pressure to like make sure every performance mm-hmm. is what you've put all these years into. But also it's just your job and you do just have to get it done and get it out there. And sometimes you have to just grit your teeth. And it's a lot of learning for me right now. I'm really lucky that a lot of the actors in the cast have done lots of Broadway shows and have done lots of 8-show weeks and have so many tips for me. But they've been really supportive as I learn kind of what it's like to really be an 8-show week actor on Broadway, especially with Operation Mincemeat. Operation Mincemeat is so physical. If you haven't seen the show, there's only 5 of us on stage, but you would think there were 80 by the amount of characters that we play. We're singing all of the harmonies all the time. We're also moving the set pieces. We're also changing our clothes constantly. It's just go, go, go the whole time. We don't leave the stage for more than like 10 seconds at a time. And that's really hard on your body. Going to like physical therapy and stuff to like learn. I just had to go to physical therapy to learn how to like hold my back up correctly for Steve. And you think Steve, I'm like, I play Steve for maybe 10 minutes. He's just this little old guy who keeps messing everything up, but he can't really tell that he's messing anything up. And I just like to play him a little bit hunched over. And then I was like, oh, my back kind of kind of hurts. But you realize you do something for 10 minutes, 8 times a week.
Takes a toll.
Takes a toll. And, you know, I'm not 16 like I was at the Jimmy's anymore. So it's definitely a learning curve. And, you know, if you're watching performers on Broadway, especially younger ones who may not know what this life entails completely yet, give a little bit of grace, because we are learning something that is so, you know, the peak of what you can ask your body to do in a week.
I feel like I'm seeing a lot of younger Broadway debuts in the last 3 or 4 seasons. Which is like wonderful and fantastic. And I'm like, you guys just went from like doing, you know, like a 4-week stint of your, you know, you learned the show in 2 weeks and you did in 2 weeks and then you were done to like doing an 8-show week. Like moving to New York City, having to learn the whole thing. And I always think about how my brain probably wouldn't do well as a swing. I always am like, six, I'd love to swing so I could play all of the roles. And I was like, I would die. I don't think I would do well.
You would be, I mean, because I had never swung before my first contract with Mincemeat. And you'd be surprised what your brain is capable of when you ask it. It's really exciting to push yourself and be like, yeah, I do have to know all of these lines and all of these harmonies. And I don't get to tell myself no. I have to say, yes, I'm learning that. And then all of a sudden, you will. And you'll surprise yourself so much.
I was talking to a friend because we were talking about Mincemeat. And I was like, that there's so much happening. And I think I said something. So when we were doing Head Over Heels, I played Pamela. And Head Over Heels, if anyone doesn't know, is written in a heightened language already. It's not like fully Shakespeare or whatever, but it's like supposed to sound like that. And I remember, I think I told him, I was like, well, I remember being in music rehearsals and I remember like learning the choreography. I don't remember ever learning the lines, but like I knew them by the time we were like in tech. And I just remember being like, I genuinely don't know how I met. Like, I was like, I'm a little worried when I do book something because I'm like, I don't. Every show that I've ever done, I've learned the lines fine. When and how?
When and how? You don't.
I have no idea. I was like, this is. Hopefully, my brain stays like that for a while.
You'd be so surprised what your brain is capable of, and you know, under a little bit of pressure, what it can produce.
Well, and I love. I mean, I love a sung through.
Show,
because my brain understands that so much better than anything else.
I'm the exact same.
I had a couple of friends who had a couple auditions for like the touring of Op Mincemeat, and I was like, get ready to do so many tongue twisters. And I think like when you listen to it, it doesn't actually sound like that many words, in my opinion. And then you try and go and do it. I've seen the I literally have seen the show, what, 5 times now? And then there was a moment in time where like that was all that was playing in my headphones. Like, literally all that was playing. I would end and I would just go back. I would just let it continue playing. And I was like, maybe I should, like, I wonder if I could even just do like the opening number. And I get maybe 2 sentences in and I was like,
Oh, this is a lot of words.
I thought I knew the words. Yeah. And I do if I'm listening to them, because my brain's like, yes, that's what she's saying. Nope. Did not know the words at all.
It's crazy. I mean,
even for Jean's song, I was like, yeah, hers is not even all like the ladies, as
like in All the Ladies, there's like nowhere to breathe. Mm-mm. Like really. And I was talking to Claire Marie Hall, who originated this role, and I was like, girl, where do you breathe in this? Then she was like, I don't know. It's just
I don't actually.
It just is what it is now. You know,
when you're dancing and jumping on the desk and like you're like doing a lot more than some of the other songs where you guys are just like,
yeah,
I mean, you do have some songs where you are.
Yes.
I'm going crazy.
My track as Jean, I get to play a lot of the ensemble all of the time. And it's fun to play what is or can be a one or two person ensemble by yourself or with maybe one other actor. But it's exhausting and it's so many words and so many harmonies. And Gina's often on the highest harmonies
in
every moment that she can be. Because again, Claire Marie, who originated it, has an incredible range. She has a superhuman voice. So now I have to
match that. Now I have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, if you haven't seen it, everyone must go see Operation Mincemeat. Mm-hmm. It is on Broadway at the
John Golden Theater.
Golden Theater. I almost was like, it's not at the Golden, because my brain, I just saw The Outsiders last night. Right. And so my brain was like, wait.
I know.
There's a lot of Goldens going on over there.
It's fun that we
You guys share a little.
Yeah. The Jacobs, the Golden, and the Majestic all share an alleyway. So we get to kind of run into each other in between shows, like when people are grabbing food. And, you know, now that Beaches is moving into the Majestic, we're going to be seeing Jessica Voss hanging out.
Is there anything that you want to do that maybe isn't musical theater? Like, are you into like TV film? Are you wanting to do any kind of like voiceover stuff?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, the core of what I love to do is to tell stories and be an actor. And so in any medium that can be, I will say my first love is live theater. I think there's something extremely special about a shared experience that doesn't happen the same way twice, and that you share with real people in front of them. But then there's also something really incredible about the way you can manipulate frames in TV and film that can tell really amazing stories or really funny stories. Mm-hmm. I would love to do anything on TV or in a movie. Yeah, I would love to do things like that or voiceover work like that. I'm really open to wherever life takes me as far as this career goes.
I was gonna say, you said how like the theater, it being live theater, it's live theater.
Yeah.
And was it the first time or the second time? No, the first time I saw everyone. So the second time I saw the show, you were on and Brandon was on.
Yes.
And
oh gosh, that's trouble. Something must have happened.
Not with you. Like, it wasn't necessarily with you. It was, is it when Bevan, I think it's like towards the end, and Bevan comes in and he's like, they moved or whatever. Mm-hmm. And someone in the audience went, woo!
Yeah, yes, for sure.
And Natasha was like, and then you all just kind of like scattered and you were like, hello?
Was it a bird? And was something like, in the pipes?
This is the most amazing. Because like so many shows actually don't really allow for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is like, I mean, that's kind of also what you get with like sung through shows. There are like scenes in Operation Mincemeat. They're just not.
They're not super long.
Singing than scenes. And
and a lot of the scenes in Operation Mincemeat are underscored, so they have like this musical feeling, like stuff like the briefcase isn't sung, but it's a specific rhythm. There's music behind it. Mincemeat, it feels very, very musical. And you're so right that this show like has so much open, like I don't know, I guess flexibility for. Yeah. Especially for the Monty character, which last year I covered and I went on for twice. Like, that character really can say whatever he wants.
Pretty much.
And really can interact.
Yeah.
And Julia Nitel, who is our newest Monty, She is totally taking control of that. And she's had so many like incredible, hilarious moments with audience members, and they're just loving her. And yeah, it's a really special role. And it's a really special role for, again, coming back to maybe some of the themes from Lizzie and stuff, for a woman or a femme presenting person. Mm-hmm. So we are so like, it's a very rare occasion that we're able to be in this MC kind of charmer
yeah.
character, or this kind of suave, I can do whatever I want mm-hmm. kind of character. It just doesn't really exist in the yeah. same way. So Monty's really, really special for anyone who gets to step into it. It feels really powerful. It's like Lizzie in that yeah. way, that it's like, oh wow, I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about this art form just from stepping into these shoes for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of like stepping into your own power with like, yeah. especially with the show, like all of you have, I mean, there's like there's tiers of confidence with, yes. with the different characters.
Yes, for
I mean,
sure.
Like, obviously Charles is like the least confident
yes.
in himself.
Yes.
But it's so interesting, especially like at the end when whoever is playing that gets to be the American who plays Charles. And you're like,
yes.
this is a totally different person.
Completely.
Which, like, it's not. But like, yeah. I just, that's also when I first saw it, I was like, that's hilarious.
Right?
That is like wonderfully done.
Right? Yeah.
Amazing. we're going to go to, so I asked.
Yes.
The folks on the social medias.
For sure.
If they
the
had
socials.
Any questions. You actually had a couple of your cast members decided to
okay.
ask some questions.
Sure, they're goofing off.
Well, we'll start with Jack.
Go
Jack's
ahead.
Question is, approximately how many?
10 to 12, I'd say. Come on, Jack. He is just a goober. Yeah, me and Jack had such a great relationship last year. He really took me under his wing. And we send each other like memes every day still. I miss him dearly, but I know he'll be back around, and maybe I'll head over to the UK at some point.
I loved like watching like watching all stories and being like, oh, there she is.
Yep.
I love Jack. Jack is
yes.
Okay, Amanda, I'd like to know.
Oh.
How do you relax when not working, being a shining star, and what brings you small flashes of joy?
Oh, that's such a great question. Is this my Amanda?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hey girl. How do I relax? How do I relax? Oh gosh, do I relax? That's a good
question.
Whenever
someone asks me that, I'm like, what is that?
I know, I'm like,
do you know what that is?
How many years has it been? But no, I, oh gosh, and this is when we're gonna get really nerdy. I really enjoy watching like video game Let's Plays on YouTube.
Okay.
I love that stuff. I have so much fun. If anybody likes watching video games, I've been watching Pocopia playthroughs, which is a video game that is like a Pokemon type Animal Crossing type game. It's super relaxing. It's super fun. It just feels like you're sitting with a friend and they're playing a video game. And that's been like my thing to calm down recently. I don't know, it's kind of new, but I'm really enjoying watching video games.
Do you have any that you enjoy playing yourself?
No, I don't. I don't play any myself, and that's what's so crazy about it. It's like I will never pick up, well maybe I will someday, but I don't pick up video games. I don't like playing video games. I don't want to figure out the problems myself. I want to watch someone else do
right,
it.
Right. Right.
But no, I was thinking about this. I think it comes from like my older brother. He used to play like, you know, Call of Duty, all of those games that, mm-hmm. you know, boys played back in the mid 2000s,
yeah.
I guess. And I would just watch. And it was fun to just watch him play the game.
Because you don't have to worry about whether,
exactly.
you're, whether someone behind you, in front of you.
Exactly. And it's just fun. So that's what I've been doing recently is watching video games. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really do to calm down. I love going out and getting a really nice cup of coffee. My favorite coffee shop right now, well, I say right now, but it will probably be forever, is a Sojourner Coffee House in Harlem. There's just not a better cup of coffee out there. I just have the best time, and there's such a community there. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to that coffee house, someone says like, hi, like, how are you doing today? And I make a new friend, and there's always dogs there. And so that's great. A nice cup of coffee. I like to hang out with my boyfriend. We like to just watch reality TV. And then, yeah, just those kinds of things. Simple.
There you go. Oh, and then her second question is, what brings you small flashes of joy?
Mm. Well, you, Amanda. Oh, my gosh. But truly, I mean, to be completely upfront and honest, this cast is so incredibly special and so lovely, and everybody is hilarious and kind and fun, and we're all goofing around with each other and telling each other jokes, and it makes for such a pleasant onstage experience too. We get to just kind of like hang out and tell a fun story, and it just makes the end feel that much more poignant, because you're like, oh my gosh, I just did this really hard show mm-hmm. with people I really like.
Yeah.
So definitely the people I get to see at work all the time, and then my friends, my boyfriend, my family, those are definitely, you know, huge flashes of joy for me. And then seeing dogs on the street, whenever I see a dog, that's just gonna make my day 10 times better.
Well, and I assume when you're in between shows and you're heading back to the theater, like mm-hmm. that's prime
oh,
dog
yeah.
walking hour.
Oh yeah.
That's when everyone's getting their like evening walks.
Oh yeah. And I also am a really big, I guess is another way I like to relax. I really love a really long walk. Like I could walk for hours just taking in the fresh air. And yeah, and just seeing a cute little animal is just the best.
Have you guys had any I know there are a couple like famous Broadway dogs that have visited yes. a couple theaters. Have you guys gotten any yet?
I mean, well, Drax was around when Jack was here, but not too many since him. No.
I also love a backstage dog.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Sam Polly will bring her dog Scampi.
Oh.
And he is like the cutest little like wimpy little chihuahua who, yeah. like, whose tongue like hangs out like this.
Yeah.
And he's like so much energy.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when I'm walking past the theater, I'm like, is he here?
Is he there? Can I say hi?
I love that dog. He's crazy. Let's see. Like, does anyone have their names? Okay. I think this person might be Dell. Okay. Asks, what is your all-time favorite musical?
Oh,
and
gosh.
Which musical made you want to start professionally pursuing theater?
I'm all time, I can never answer, because I'm one of those people who just like has a new hyperfixation every month, maybe.
Oh, yeah. New hyperfixation. It depends on the category.
Yeah.
What style are we
depends
talking about?
Yeah. What are we doing? Is it about me listening to it, or is it about me watching
yeah.
it? Is it about me being in it? Is it about me not being in it? Yeah. It's too much to try and process, but I love Great Comet. I think Great Comet is beautiful.
And you did Natasha.
Yes, I did. Which I never, honestly, really never saw myself doing until I got the offer to play that role. I always saw myself as more of a Sonia in that one, but Natasha ended up being a really great fit and a wonderful experience. I think that everything that Dave Malloy touches is just genius mm-hmm. and gold. So yeah, anything that he's doing. Recently, and this goes on and off, recently I'm on another Ride the Cyclone kick. I will just listen to Ride the Cyclone and it'll be the only thing I'm listening to mm-hmm. for however long. Obviously, before I had auditioned for Operation Mincemeat, it was one of those things that I was like, I have to listen to it every day. If I don't listen to Just for Tonight before I go out, then what's the point?
Right.
I didn't fully have the vision. It just, you know, stuff like that. But some more, I guess, classics that I really love, I guess. I'm a really big fan of Pippin.
Okay.
I think that Pippin is really timeless in a really unique way. I'm dying for it to be revived. I have this like idea for it to be revived again. It's not fully fleshed out. I don't have like a fully thing, but I think it needs to come back because I think those characters and the whole concept of like trying to find yourself in things that aren't necessarily real is timeless and needed. And I think that Pippin is such a unique and great opportunity, and the songs are just mm-hmm. so good. So good.
Schwartz knows how to write a song.
Oh yeah.
Just oh, a couple. Yeah.
Just a couple. Just a couple. I mean, yeah, give him a few years. Yeah. Maybe he'll come out with a hit. I don't know. But stuff like that, just like really, really moves me. Let me check my playlist and see what
I feel like if like to. Pippin comes back or like any of those shows, I would be fighting for like a big, like a nice orchestra size.
Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm getting so sad about like all of these shows getting revived, and then it's like a 7-piece something, and I'm like, no
more. And then let me see them too. Let me see the orchestra. I want to see the orchestra.
I
want to
see the pit. I want to see the netting.
Yes, show me everything.
I think that's why I love like when I get to see Wicked, because you can see and they've made it, because the way the pit is, it's like you can actually see the entire thing, especially when you're up top.
That was the and this is also one of the greats and definitely falls in one of my top shows. The Merrily revival was just like one of the most perfect things I think I've ever seen, and they had their orchestra up top. And I mean, that was when I realized, when I was sitting in that Merrily revival, I was like, oh my God, it's been so long since I've heard an overture.
Right?
I needed that. Like, I needed you to introduce the themes to me. Bring back overtures. Bring back large orchestras is my
big
my
orchestras,
theme.
Big casts.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I got to see Gypsy twice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, there's a whole like overture. Like part of me was like, how much time do I have to get to my seat? And they, you know, obviously like house is at half at that point, because like also some of the point is like people are still being seated. Yeah. That is why there's an overture.
Yeah.
And so there's so few. And I saw Merrily. I remember that. Yeah. Have you seen the filmed
I haven't
version yet?
I haven't
seen
I
it yet, because I didn't get to see Daniel when I went. He was out
that
didn't.
Day. I didn't get to see Jonathan when I went, but that was actually on purpose. We not that we don't want to see you, Jonathan. We want to see you, Jonathan. but Corey Mock is a grad from BW, and he happened to be going on while we were showcasing in New York City in 2024. And so we all got tickets, and it was just, I mean, what
it's
a show.
Such a good show.
Yeah.
That's why I also just went to see New York City Center, and their Encores productions are so good.
Yeah. The last one I saw there was Titanic. I need to go see Wild Party. I've heard spectacular things about it. But yeah, I mean, those productions are unreal.
Yeah.
The voices they get.
Oh my God. Titanic, I'd never heard. I was like, I know Titanic.
Right.
but that, I mean, like those harmonies.
Blown away.
Are wild. And with a cast like that.
Yeah.
That's why I always get so sad when like shows go on tour and you lose like 3 or 4 people, because like people start just covering and they just like it condense. And I'm like, can you hear a big change? Not really,
but
like if you I feel that way with like Frozen.
Sure.
Like they have a fairly large ensemble, and I don't know if they sized down even when they came back
with
like Sierra and Mackenzie. But I mean, like we grew up watching Frozen.
Yeah.
I'm sure
were
like how old were you in Frozen? It came out in
2013. So maybe I was like 10-ish.
Yeah.
Maybe?
So it's like prime time. Because I was 13. So I was
loved it.
But
and
that's
another, I mean, that's another show that I am dying to be in. And I would love to play Anna anywhere at any time. That music is just so good.
The music is so good. Oh, I was going to tell you. Okay. So I read. So when I do these podcasts, I look everyone up.
Yeah.
Which means I look up anything that you've done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of the links that like say Jessie Curtley. I like click on them to see what it is. And I think it was an interview that you must have done for, I don't know if it was for the Jimmy Awards or if it was for the Georgia Awards, but sure. Someone had asked you like who your favorite actress was and you said Mackenzie Kurtz.
Yes. Yes, I did.
And
I stand by that. I like, she's just so good. And she always has been. I have to see Schmigadoon. I have to. I mean, because Mackenzie was like kind of like the example of like doing it that mm-hmm. was so tangible for me, because she was a senior, I believe, when I was going to be a freshman, and she went through the exact same program that I did in Georgia, and then, you know, she just continues to hit it big, and she makes huge choices, and she's such a smart actress. She's so funny, and her voice is like
steel. Is so good.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I just, yeah, I really, when she played Mary Poppins in high school, I couldn't believe how good it was. I went to go see it, and I was like, I have to see this again, because I have a feeling like this is extremely special. I will never be paying $15 to see Mackenzie Kurtz ever again. Right. I have to do it again. And I just, she was just kind of a little bit of like a far away, but not too far, like example for me. And yeah, it's just great to see her killing it on all fronts all the time.
Kira asks, do you have a favorite onstage mishap?
Oh gosh, we always get this. I mean, the thing is, like, I can't, mishap is so misleading, because like anything going quote unquote wrong in Mincemeat is just like,
I was gonna say, you cover it up really well anyway.
And it's also like inevitable with the amount of things we're throwing at each other or passing behind our backs or
I mean, that telephone choreography is, I watch it every single time and I'm like, I can see what you're doing. Like, I know where this phone is going, and I still would be the one to be like, I went under instead of over.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, exactly. It's so tricky and all that stuff, but it's so welcome. Like, it just adds to it. It so adds to it. I think one of the funnier things that's happened was when our fly rig, for whatever reason, they determined like not safe to go up, which, you know, they always are always erring much more on the
cautious
side. That Tash didn't end up flying, and we did like a no fly like Wicked show. It was hilarious. But yeah, it's they're just not mishaps. They're just like extra fun. The other day on stage, there's a part where Willie Watkins throws a bunch of papers in the air, mm-hmm. and one of them flew right into the audience. And then as Jean, I have to pick them all up, and so I'm like with the audience member, like, give it back, please. Give it back. And the person's just holding it, just reading it. And I'm like, there's nothing on there for you. Just give it back. It didn't give it back.
But then it adds to my little souvenir.
Right. It just adds to like how that character's feeling in that moment. Is like, oh my God, I can't keep everything together. So I don't know. My favorite mishap is the one that happens today, the one that happens tomorrow, right. The one that happens whenever we do the show.
Okay. Are they flyers? Okay, so at the very, very end in the confetti, those are new, right? Because I feel like the ones that come out over the orchestra.
Yeah.
When my friend and I saw the first two times, we were, well, by the time we had seen it, whenever it was, and we saw them, we were like, those look new.
Yeah. I don't believe they are. I think we might drop a little bit more than we did before, but if you see Operation Mincemeat during our very last bow sequence, like many other Broadway shows, we do some confetti at the very last button. But we also drop these copies of the actual telegram that was sent when they reported that Operation Mincemeat was successful. Mm. And so that's a really awesome, cool souvenir. So if you happen to find a seat, they kind of drop in the center orchestra.
Yeah.
But it's a real copy of, like, it has like the Western Union emblem and everything on there of the real telegram that was sent when they said it was successful.
Because we were talking about it. I guess we just never noticed it. Granted, there is a ton of confetti.
Oh, sorry. There's a lot going
A lot going on. I remember because I am someone who will bring my camera and I will take photos for bows, which is like always really fun, especially if like a cover is going on or something. Because I'm like, I know you guys didn't get your opening night,
right,
you know, like photos and your costumes. And so I really enjoy when I get to do that. But we were like looking and we were like,
what is
are
that?
Are those like not circular little confetti? But I remember the first time I went, I had my camera and we were like, you know, way up in the rafter. No, actually, I don't even think we were. We were like further down. And I was like, I literally can't see anything. Like, like the first moment,
just
like
when you guys,
when you guys
confetti.
Jump, I was like, where'd they go? There was just so much. I had to wait for a couple seconds for it to all like flutter down. And I think I don't have any more, but somewhere I think I was going through the photos and it was literally just like yellow. Like you literally couldn't see through it. And I was like, this is hilarious to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was about to say you guys might use more glitter than more confetti than six, but six, there's like falls throughout the entire last like
they're
six,
doing a lot.
6 minute song. Okay, let me find one more from here. Abby would like to know about your high school chorus experience.
Oh my gosh. This is a friend who did.
Okay.
This is a friend who was in high school choir with me. That is so funny. High school choir was like so much fun. It was this group of girls. We all still stay in touch like pretty much daily. And it's been such a like fun group of people. We put on little shows. Sometimes it would have like musical theater numbers and we'd try and do some dances. We weren't great at it. They were really not that great of shows, but we would try our best. But that's another thing that was just like, I don't know. We're hanging out, we're doing it for fun. And I think back to those times a lot when I'm doing this professionally, that like, oh, I am actually just going out and singing songs for joy, and that's okay.
I had a professor that would say, he was one of the people who were like, we're in a floating rock in space. And he also was like, you're literally getting a degree in playing dress up and make believe. And it is a real degree.
Yeah, it is a real degree. And there's a lot of skill to it, but it also is really fun.
It is. Okay, so we're coming down to our last couple minutes.
Sure.
The last thing I do for the podcast, which I don't usually tell people prior.
Okay.
So you get to take a couple seconds. I give all of my interviewees a minute of like on an uninterrupted time.
Okay.
To talk about literally whatever you want.
Whatever.
You get 1 minute. Here we go.
Okay, so since this is kind of like a full circle moment, since the first time we kind of interacted was back in 2019 with the Jimmy Awards, something that I have really been thinking about now that I am a full grown adult human and not a 16-year-old, was the way that the Jimmy Awards affected like my brain and my psyche and the way that I developed through young adulthood. And it's something that I don't think I considered until after the fact. You know, the Jimmys is on such a large platform and you get exposed to so many people so quickly. Those videos get millions of views. They get thousands of views. And so with that comes a lot of people sharing a lot of opinions. And There are some comments out there that are like, you know, you suck, you're bad, or whatever. And people are so vocal about the Jimmys and people have such big opinions. And I encourage full grown adults to think for a second before they comment on what is probably a 15 or 14 year old kid's performance and think, hey, maybe this is this kid's dream. Maybe I shouldn't post something public forever that might make them feel really bad. And I think we should all just give each other that grace on the internet. You know, I think stuff should be posted to be talked about, but maybe not, you know, maybe not posted forever, especially when it's involving kids and kids that are doing art that they really care about. Yeah, because that affected me a lot. Being exposed to so many critics at that young age. So that is kind of my soapbox. I will say that anywhere that I go, that it's like, hey, if you're watching the Jimmy Awards, crack open a bottle of wine, hang out with your friends, talk about all the things that you think about this new generation. Do not post it.
No.
Do not comment.
Please
it.
Don't.
Do not. Because I was reading some of those, and I know I just went way over the time, but I was reading some of those comments when I was a young child and being like, oh my God, this thing I've trained my whole life for, this thing I love so much, and this was my first chance to like make a really big splash, and I ruined it. I ruined it because Johnny637 said that I was flat, and you don't have the foresight at that age to be like, oh well, that's just a comment. You really do think that maybe I really screwed all this up. And so I really encourage the full grown adults to think a little bit before you tell Sally from like Atlanta that she has no future in this industry, because she's brave enough to get up there and sing a song. What are you doing?
Right.
That's my soapbox.
Well, and like social media these days is also like even worse than it was in 2019.
Yes.
I mean, we now have TikTok is like newish since, I mean, I know it's been here since forever, but like it wasn't really being used in 2019 the same way as it is now. And my TikTok, the only reason I have the followers I do is because I just post videos of me singing sometimes.
I'm
like, sometimes I'm just like, it's literally 2 a.m. and you decided to leave that kind of a comment. On me, like sitting on my couch in my living
room. People, we're so desensitized to the fact that we are human beings reading the words of other human beings. And it's just, it's gone to a place that's just like really scary. And when I moved to New York City, because I knew it was going to be a really hard time, I was going to be struggling a lot with lots of things, lots of auditions, and really wanted to focus on my career. I deleted every single social for 6 months. I was like, there's no, I'm not touching it. I'm not looking at any of it. And it was so good. Mm-hmm. I totally recommend it. If you're going through a huge transition in your life, just delete them all for 6 months and then you can return to it, because it is, especially for us, it's a necessary thing. You need to be able to connect. And in a lot of ways, it's really positive, like stuff like this. And I love seeing people sharing really positive things, but it's also not the world.
I also argue to say the same thing about like when you do go and see theater, like the 10 block rule, 20 block rule, not to
very
get into
true.
Your house, lock the door, turn the key,
very true,
is like also because I like I'm always like, you don't know one who's listening to you. And like, you're allowed to have your opinion. I'm not saying no one can have an opinion.
Oh, please.
I'm just saying, maybe don't say it while you're standing at the stage door waiting for the person to come out.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's really awkward that you're like waiting for a signature for a person that you're currently being like, I didn't
bashing.
Like them.
Yeah, I know.
What? Go
it's,
home,
it's
then.
So, it's so desensitized. It's wild. But yes, I do. I am also very much of the mind of like, art is so that we can talk about it. Art is so we can have opinions. Everyone should have a taste. Everyone should have things they like and don't like, things they really don't like and things they really love. And that's what's really awesome, is to have that discourse. But there are humans at the heart of it. And in this specific case of the Jimmys, there are children.
Yes, minors.
There are children at the heart of it. And we pretend like they're not. We comment like they're not. Like they're these... Because they're doing, they have skills that are above.
Well, and that. I also think like people who like watch the Jimmys but don't follow the prior week.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are like belting for hours.
The whole week, like, all day.
Like that's a lot for someone that age. Also has never done an age show week.
Yeah.
And you're also like, is that during the summer? Are you guys like out
of
school?
It's in the summer.
By the time?
Yeah. You're out of school. But then it's like, you're like stepping on a Broadway stage and you're 15, 16. And it's like, wow, I really want to enjoy and love this moment and do my best. And then I remember vividly, like I sang my finalist solo and then my friends were backstage watching the live stream and seeing some not so nice comments popping up. And they were like, oh, just don't look at it. Just don't look at it right now. Of course I did. But like, that shouldn't be the experience.
I also wish like shows like that would just turn
it off.
The comments off. I don't think we need
Go
them.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But you know. Okay. Well, thank you for sitting down with me.
Yeah.
You can follow Jesse on Instagram.
Yes. At JM Kirt. It's just JMKIRT.
And you can follow the Broadway vlogs, but I don't post much on there. I'm not on there very often. It's just me being like, ask me questions, please. Okay, well, have a nice show tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Of course, this was so much fun.